live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to Chatterbox, everybody. To be more exact, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. In fact, it's the 100th episode of Chatterbox Video Game Radio, coming at you on December 11th. That's super cheesy, huh? Is it coming at you?
Coming at you.
December 11th.
It's a podcast, so we can be dirty.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want when it's podcast only. Now, next week, I think we're not going to do a podcast only show. We're also not going to be in the radio station. What's happening is I'm going away. We figure after 100 shows, good enough to take a break.
Not I can technically 100 shows, 100 weeks.
100
okay,
weeks.
I'm not going to call you.
That's okay. I'll let you inform the audience of the truth that it's really not show 100, but it's damn close. I don't know how many reruns we did in the history of the show, but very, very few.
Not a whole lot. Yeah.
Now, next week, like I said, not going to have a show, not going to be in the radio station, so that's actually going to be our very first week of not having one. But I think after 100 shows, or pseudo-shows, as it were, maybe that's a good time to do that. And
that's
we'll
right.
start the next 100 fresh.
I will be knee-deep in finals, so.
Good. And
well,
I'm going
to
be in Hawaii.
I just want to apologize to everyone, because I'm not mentioning with my mic right now, and my levels are jumping all over the place. Okay, and we can go now.
Okay. All right, so yeah, I'm going to be in Hawaii, and you're going to be doing finals. Now, the week after that is Christmas Day. The Sunday, of course, after that,
yes,
is Christmas Day. Now, here's what I think is a good idea. Since we're going to skip out a week, it's sort of disappointing for some of the listeners, and it's going to be Christmas Day. Here in the U.S., we like to give presents to each other on Christmas Day. Right?
Yeah, of course. So why not give stuff to you?
Exactly. I have this stuff left over. I still have an Ignition dance pad from Red Octane. We love Red Octane. Go to redoctane.com. They have a new game, by the way, Guitar Hero. We've talked about it in the past.
I
love it.
You're in love with that game.
Love
right
that
now.
Game. My pinky still regrets me ever buying it, but I love the game. So anyway, you can get it from Red Octane. We have an Ignition dance pad from them, valued at about $100. I also have a copy of In the Groove, which is also published by Red Octane for the PlayStation 2. I've got Sniper Elite from Namco for the Xbox. I've got a bunch of mod kits, swimming
tons
in mod kits,
of mod kits
for your PC.
I've been making tiny forts out of them.
Yeah, it's actually from MGE Electronics, something like that. Go to xgbox.com if you want to see about these mod kits. I've got something like, well, over 10.
Yeah,
at least 10 of them.
Quite a few
left to give away. I know some people have already received theirs from previous contests, and they seem to like them. I hope. So anyway, that's what we're going to do on Christmas. I'm going to give stuff away. I'm going to cover some of the news. But we're going to be back in the radio station, so you know it'll be an exactly, you know, one-hour show, and you can listen live again and be very happy. And we'll
Phone
even take
in.
Callers.
Please call, because Alon will be there by himself.
That's actually going to be the only way to win stuff. I'm only going to take live callers in North America to win stuff, because, one, I don't want to ship to Europe, and, two, I don't feel like making Christmas Day last until the week after Christmas. I think Christmas Day is the best time to actually do it. So hopefully you'll listen in. Now, here's what we're talking about this week. First of all, last week, a major portion of our show was devoted to reporting on the National Institute on Media and the Family's annual video game report card.
Are you waiting? Should I speak in here?
I don't know.
That's what we did.
Maybe.
Sorry, I'm doing other things. I'm writing every
You're very busy. So yeah, we talked about their annual video game report card, and one of the things we commented on, I think the most important
was how their facts were a little skewed, a little ambiguous.
Yeah.
And pretty much the ESRB kind of shot back and gave them an F, saying pretty much all the stuff we were saying.
Here's the issue. That David Walsh, the head of that organization, he was a little bit dry in his presentation. He said a bunch of stuff about the ESRB and how they handled ratings and sort of left out important details.
Yeah.
For instance, when he was talking about the hot coffee situation and how they took like a month and they should have said, wait a minute, you know, you can't, we're not going to rate your games for 2 years because you let this happen. And we were saying, well, you know what? There was never any rule against what they did. You know, Take-Two didn't have to tell you about the content in that game because there weren't rules.
Listen,
about
they should have done something, obviously.
Well,
I mean,
what they
meant
did was right.
They've never seen before, so they should have been on the ball right away. They shouldn't have discussed it or anything like that, taken some time to weigh the options.
Oh, you're being sarcastic, are you?
That's right. That's right. I am.
I didn't catch that at first.
You didn't catch that.
Color me embarrassed.
I'm yeah. dry. So
exactly what Nate was implying, that you know, we have no problem with them taking time to figure out how to handle a completely foreign situation. And the ESRB, just like Nate just said, they fought back. They said, well, wait a minute, you left out a bunch of things. And this is exactly what we were both saying last week. And actually, to be accurate, the ESRB flunked the National Institute on Media and the Family in these categories. They said research and analysis and disclosure of pertinent facts, while also... they also gave demerits for neglecting parents and children's best interests.
Yeah.
So, basically, what we said. Their research was weak. We didn't say their research was weak, but their disclosure of the facts.
I was in Austin, Texas, visiting with my buddy, and I was discussing the National Institute of Media and the Family with him. So we went to their website, and they also have a rating system. The most confusing rating system ever. It's go, stop, and yield. And it's, if you like go to their website, I don't have it on me right now, but I'll try and describe it. It's like green is for like children, yellow parents should be cautious, and stop means like you shouldn't buy this. They won't really give an age range. So they just have this very confusing system that I'm not exactly sure how parents would follow. I found it very difficult to read.
I think I've actually seen that before, but I've never really studied it a lot.
It's kind of a joke, as far as I could tell. But that's just me.
Yeah, one of the things that the ESRB was saying, to be more specific about the problems in the report that NIMF gave last week. Let me go over here to Gama Sutra and read it again. I got to find this stuff again. This is tough. Okay, here it is. The ESRB statement included point-by-point rebuttal of the specific claims made by the report card. In response to the charge that the ESRB ratings were inaccurate, the ESRB pointed out that the NIMF's own ratings agree with the official marks 80% of the time, and differences are usually a mere year apart. I'm not quite sure what they mean by a year apart. Like, maybe the ESRB says you have to be 13 and up, and the NIMF says you should be 14 and up or something.
Okay.
But more importantly, I think one of their more important claims here, the ESRB also dismissed claims that its ratings don't reflect increasing levels of mature content in games, pointing out that the NIMF relied on a for-profit company with a vested financial interest in undermining the ESRB. That was the PSV ratings. I don't remember if you...
Is it me? I don't know. I was talking to my friend, and I just felt like the National Institute, or NIMF, was looking to get ESRB's job. Like, we don't like what you're doing, we should be doing it.
Well, exactly. And what the ESRB is saying, that, you know, they're a for-profit company, and they're the ones you use to prove your theory about, you know, how our ratings are so wrong.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, one of the things NIMF and everybody else is complaining about is that the ESRB is in the pocket of the video games industry. So they're complaining that ESRB is catering to money, and now ESRB is complaining that the NIMF is
catering
using this
to
company.
Money.
Yeah. So it's sort of a back and forth, but as we've said in the past, like, I think the ESRB has done a good job, and I think they're being unfairly...
I think they're doing a fine job.
Yeah. I think they're unfairly ruled against.
Well,
or
even
I don't even
when
know
they
what
were...
I
know you looked it up. I guess some people emailed you with the website. We talked about this. But he mentioned that there were 19 AO games.
Oh, yeah.
Really, there's, like, maybe three.
Oh, can I tell you how lame it is? I gotta find this list again, but yeah, there's supposedly 19 games. If you go to the ESRB's website, a bunch of people did email me with either the list or a link to the list, and it shows a bunch of so-called games. One of them is like a Playboy screensaver. Another one, the only thing listed in its content descriptor for why it's mature is that there's gambling. Now, I just got, a few weeks ago, one of the new poker games, that Crave Howard Lederer Poker Championship 2 or whatever.
The bad game that
yeah.
You were...
I should check. I can go look at my games right now. I'm pretty sure that it's not rated M.
Well, it does have gambling in it, though.
Yeah, well, that's my point, though. That it's not AO, for sure. And I really don't think it's M. I would guess, in fact, that it's only T for teen. Of
well,
course,
even that, I mean, it's a card game.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is that I think that is suitable. Maybe M. But there's an argument to make it mature because, you know, there's gambling and you're not supposed to gamble until you're at least 18 in this country. Sometimes 21, like here in Arizona.
Yeah.
So maybe you can have an argument for making it mature. And I guess since Mature is 17 and up, there could even be an argument for AO, but that, of course, is just plain stupid.
Yeah, that would be silly.
But apparently, so there's a game on there, that's, its only descriptor is that there's gambling. There's the point is, there's all these 19 listed games, and, like, we've never heard of any of them except...
None of them.
Like, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, we all knew that one, AO, and then they released the new one, which isn't.
Like the singles, I believe that was,
yeah,
AO.
There was the singles, and there might have been one other that, like, if you knew a lot of PC games or you know, research stuff only on the internet, right, maybe you bought that. But, like, finding a game in a store, the only one you could ever walk down to EB and find was Grand Theft Auto. And, of course, you can't find that anymore.
Yeah, because that's been taken off the shelves.
And the singles, I list the singles as a legitimate game because it's published by a company we've heard of. I think it's Eidos, if I remember correctly.
I believe so.
Published by a company we've heard of that has made other games that you can find in the stores. And so they just decided, well, we don't want to have to make it an M game to get into the stores, but we still want to produce this game, so you're going to have to buy it straight from us. That's legitimate. But, like, these games made by some podunk company that you can't find anywhere, period.
Yeah, you can buy it on their website.
Yeah, so, fine, it's AO, but I don't care. I don't even
they're
know
not
what our
mainstream,
point of this.
They're not mainstream games. Let's just say that. They're not mainstream.
Yeah, and so. I don't think any other games that have been on the shelves should be AO. I still don't think that the Grand Theft Auto should have been. In fact, I don't even know what our point is by complaining that the list is lame, that there are 19. Maybe I'm just defending the point that I thought there was only one.
Yeah, well, I think it's just the point that we're trying to say that they're wrong. Again, it's they're skewing facts.
Yes.
And to making it seem like a really big problem when it's not.
So, yeah. Our point here, like I said, they skewed things. ESRB agreed. We were right. Well, at least we still feel we were right. And
I don't believe we were right. I know we're right.
All right.
I'll say that right now.
So we can move on, I guess?
I guess.
All right. So here's another topic that was brought up in our forums recently relating to the PSP porn. I guess we had talked about that last week, too. With a 2.5-hour show, it's hard to remember.
Yeah, we talked a lot.
Yeah. So this PSP porn, people brought that up. They didn't realize it was happening. I guess it was on UMD and stuff. And now I was saying it was licensed by Sony because, you know, to be a UMD, you have to have it licensed by Sony.
Well, the way I read it, it seemed like they were just more, you know, turning their heads, you know.
Well, what happened is I went back and I read some old articles from, like, June. And what's happening is that there are these movies being made. You can buy them right now. And there's even been reviews of them. They're on an actual UMD. And a UMD isn't just a video. Like, it's actual interactive content. Basically, it's a video game made for the PSP, but most of the content on it is video.
Interactive.
So, like, they've got menu items and all this stuff. But the point is, like, all the same protection schemes and everything that go into the game being made and allowed on the system, they exist on a UMD too. And I'm sort of just guessing at this, but I'm pretty darn sure I'm right, that it's exactly the same thing. Just with high-quality video. So, Sony Computer Entertainment. Now, it's important to say Sony Computer Entertainment because there's several different Sonys out there. I don't know if you've ever gone to, you know, one of Sony's many websites, but there's, like, SCEA, there's SCET, and SCE... everything.
There's a
Europe,
bunch.
And there's ones for, like, there are different divisions. There's the computer games, which the... Sony Computer Entertainment of America, there's for their movies and their music, and every different part of Sony has a different company. And
they like to diversify. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, really, there's probably a lot of legitimate business reasons for that, and that's fine. But the point is that one of these articles I went back and read had these people from Sony saying, we think it's despicable that these things exist on the PSP, it's horrible, we wish they didn't happen, but we have no power to stop them. So your average Joe reads this article and says, well, Sony doesn't think they should be on there, it's horrible that these pirates are getting their games on the PSP, or their movies, right? And what they neglect to realize is that SCEA is powerless, because as they said in this article as well, they only rate the game software.
Yeah.
Now, Sony chooses to discern between game software and movie software, and that's fine. But I'll bet you that some other Sony company that loves the porn because of the money it brings in, they do get a say in what is made into a UMD video.
Those are high-quality videos. I never saw it, but I did see some shots of it. It had a great mini-game where it had girls coming at you.
You did read the article.
And you had to shoot them with sperm.
Yeah,
to you know, knock them down. It was, and they would shoot joys of glee the closer you got, or the certain area you hit, it would be great.
The article actually said that it was the best made UMD video they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Because it had, you know, all sorts of extras and good menu navigation and all that.
Oh, yeah, like on the box, it like showed where you could play it, like when you're on the train or in a boat.
Yeah, so apparently it was actually well made, but I'm saying that someone in Sony said it's okay, but this article allows them to make it look like Sony doesn't like it.
Oh, of course, they gotta cover their ass.
And one of the things we love covering here on Chatterbox is hypocrisy.
Yes.
So I classify that as hypocrisy, or at least deception, which is something Sony clearly has a handle on.
They got it down.
With pretty much everything they do. So anyway, I just thought I should mention that.
Oh.
The PSP porn, people were talking about.
They were talking about that quite a bit.
Yeah. So on that note, we're going to take a break.
I thought it was old news, but apparently not.
No, we've got more news, but we're going to take a break. We've been on for a little bit. We'll come back, after our music.
All right.
All right. We're back, everybody. Back with Chatterbox Video Game Radio, episode 100. Here's what we're going to talk about this segment. We've got Xbox to talk about. Microsoft had a
little special case for us, about a local Target, maybe.
Yeah.
So we can save that.
Do you want to jump? No, it's okay.
Should
you
I jump
interrupt
in?
Me.
So there's a Target next to my apartment, and
can we talk about what next means? How close is next to your apartment?
As like. Walking distance.
And you don't walk a lot.
I do not walk.
If I
have to walk from the back of the parking lot, that's a long way. And I'm going to say right now, my Target is very close to me.
Okay.
So there's one right next to my apartment. And they got premium systems this past Monday. Alon did some investigative work.
Xbox 360 systems we're talking about.
That's right. Not
for those
just
not
regular
aware.
Xbox 360s.
Yeah.
And were they transferred to the Target that promised us that they were going to try as hard as they could to get us our systems? No. They were sold right away.
Yeah. As a reminder, we
still have not received ours.
Yeah. We were outside for about 12 hours waiting for them, got our vouchers, and then got screwed out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why we sort of expect them to go to great lengths to get us these Xboxes.
You talked to someone from Target, or who used to work there, and he told us we really weren't going to get anywhere unless we talked to a district manager, right?
He certainly suggested it. I don't think he said we wouldn't get anywhere, but...
Okay.
He did, by the way, tell me what LOD meant. Leader on duty.
Yeah, that's right. We were
so
kind of worried.
Basically, current head honcho to talk to if you have a problem.
That's right.
I think is what LOD means. So yeah, my buddy's like, you should probably talk to the district manager. And I thought, okay, well, I was told maybe by Wednesday we'll have them, so I'm going to let Wednesday happen and put off the calling the district manager. So Wednesday came and went. Thursday came. I thought, oh, it's probably time that I talk to a DM. So I give him a call. He's not there. Somebody else is there. Now, usually... In my experience in retail, you call the DM, you get his answering machine.
Yes.
But apparently they have a whole fleet of people organized over a Target to act as, managers.
Answering machines?
So, well, I mean, it's great that I actually talked to someone even though he wasn't around, because I wouldn't have expected to get a phone call back if I just got a machine.
Well, that was very good then.
Talked to this person, and she said she's going to call me right back after she investigates the situation. And I was like, you know, they did get them right down the road from the store that we were at. And they weren't sent to us, so I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
So anyway, she said she'll give me a call right back. A few hours go by. I figure they won't call me back, but eventually she actually does. And spouts out all this crap, which really means nothing to me. I mean, I don't have any effect on it. But essentially it's like, okay, this other guy is going to send out emails to everybody and make sure we get them, if we get them, and we're going to take care of you. And he said he was going to call you as well to explain this. Now, to this day, it's a few days later, I still have not received a phone call.
I haven't gotten one either.
Other than that one phone call that, you know, like I said, the lady said she was going to call me back and did. But then she said someone else would call me and they didn't. And whatever. That's fine. But,
yeah, I'm not putting up too much stock in emails. I mean, emails are great, but I don't think they're really big motivation factor.
Yeah, the situation is when you get a big box of Xbox 360s, you know, what chance is it that the manager who got that email is going to be in? Maybe they do spread the word to everybody in the store, but they're probably just going to be sold within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we're continually getting screwed. It's 3 weeks into this process now, and we still don't have them.
Well, I'll make a prediction right now. I don't think we'll get them until the next year.
Yeah.
That's just me.
You see that?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Mine's in my jacket pocket.
I got my voucher. Ticket number two.
Still. Mine is number four, and it's very wrinkly.
Yeah, it's lonely. Anyway, thanks, Target, for continuing to screw things up.
That's right. They're such a good store, really.
Yeah. Now, really, there's more important things going on in Microsoft life these days.
Oh, yeah. They updated their backwards compatibility list, although they kind of took it back right away.
There were people complaining that Splinter Cell was not playable, and I thought, I guess that makes sense. It's a pretty complicated game, probably uses special code, might be hard to make backwards compatible, but they did it.
Along with some Tom Clancy games as well.
Well, Splinter Cell is a Tom Clancy game.
Is it? Okay, I thought it was Rainbow Six.
Well, they're all Tom Clancy.
Are they all Tom Clancy games? All right.
Tom Clancy's
Tom
Splinter
Clancy,
Cell.
Yes.
So anyway, like every Tom Clancy game except two, one Ghost Recon, I think, and one Rainbow Six game, I think. Anyway, most of them were put up there, including all the Splinter Cells. And then apparently that screwed up the backwards compatibility of Halo 2, the most important game, I think.
Yeah, I would say so for the 360. With not a big launch title, Halo 2, I think, still has to kind of carry a little bit.
I bet a lot of people are just playing a lot of Halo 2 on their 360.
I'm sure.
So it screwed up, like, the widescreen or something, which is strange, because they said now the 360 makes every game widescreen, except, you know, Halo and Halo 2 ran in widescreen anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know why did it make it widescreen?
I don't know. It's very strange to me, but apparently it took out the widescreen option, which was present in the original game and then present in the backwards compatibility, but then not once they updated it. So they've taken it back, and you can't play Splinter Cell anymore.
But you can still play Halo 2, and that's what's important, right?
Exactly. and who would want to play Splinter Cell, because it just breaks down every 5 minutes?
That's right.
No, actually, I love that game. I just wish it didn't have so many bugs and stop working. But even more important than the backwards compatibility is that they launched in Japan. Do you hear all the applause? All the people who are so excited about that?
Oh, man, just droves of them.
The three people in Japan are clapping right now. Apparently, there's all sorts of reports you can read about how things were lackluster, which I guess is no surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal. The Xbox didn't sell very well there, and, I mean, they made those big old Xbox monuments, but I guess that didn't really bring in the crowds I didn't really think they would. I was kind of complaining that, wow, that's a huge waste of money. That's not going to do anything.
Do you think that if Dead or Alive 4 were out on release day that there would be people waiting to get it?
Maybe, but still, I don't know. Japanese people don't really like the Xbox. They're kind of holding out for Sony, but that's just me.
I think that'll all change. Dead or Alive 4 is going to be a big hit for them.
Yeah, that'll be a big draw.
I mean, not big enough to move systems like in the US, but like then there's that other RPG. They had an RPG called 99 Nights, and that was originally supposed to be a launch title, but of course got pushed back, like I'm sure it should have been. So that's not coming out for several months either, and then it'll probably be pushed back again. It's just interesting to watch the game system come out in Japan and then be imported to the U.S. after it's already been released in the U.S. because there's not enough supply.
Not enough supply, yeah.
What I don't understand is why... Like, are people buying it for the 7 U.S. games that'll run on the 360? Because you know the region coding, you can't play a Japanese game in American Xbox.
Yeah, yeah, but I know.
Games can be not coded. And there's, like, I think 7 U.S. games that aren't actually coded, so they'll run in any machine. So my only guess is that people are importing them to play those 7 games. Because really...
Well, maybe not a whole lot of, you know, foresight on their behalf. Maybe they just really want a 360. Or they, you know that they'll, like, I don't know, find a way to fix it.
Like in a year?
Yeah.
Modify your system?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. That's high hopes.
Yeah, I'm really just thinking these people don't have a lot of foresight. You know, they just really want one.
Although I gotta tell you, it's so cheap that maybe it's just worth it for the hard drive and controller. It's like $300 in Japan, although I guess to import it, it's about $450.
So it's about the same as buying it here.
Yeah. Importer's dream, though. Really.
Oh, yeah. $350. That's not bad.
Huge markup day one when you can get a whole bunch of systems because they're not selling out anywhere. Yeah. So actually, I think that's all I gotta say about it. I just think it's interesting that nobody wants it over there. And that you could, like, it's as easy as walking into the store and getting one. What a novel concept.
Yeah, that'd be great if it only worked here.
Yeah. No, here you have to make phone calls to
district managers,
yeah.
Stay out all night to not get one.
Exactly. You got to put in a whole lot of work.
Yeah. Really, we should have just been rich white people. And, you know, then we could have got it right away.
I would claim that you are a rich white person, Nate.
I'll let you look at my bank statement next month.
All right. Now, I think we pretty much... That's all the Microsoft news we have, right?
I believe so.
All right, for this week.
Well, there's one guy in Chicago who's suing Microsoft because of the heating problems.
Because of the general defects
the crashing.
In the system?
He says they, you know, released a defective system and they need to, you know, have a recall, and he's demanding, you know, repercussions or something like that.
I'm pretty confident that we could devote an entire show to just dumb lawsuits.
Yeah, we could. I just wanted to mention it, just so people know that it's out there.
Yeah, just a thorn in Microsoft's side, but that'll go away really fast.
Oh, I'm sure
it will. He doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, I mean, he's asking for money, what, for everybody? So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it. The only thing he actually has a claim for is for his own system.
Pretty much.
And they actually are apparently doing a good job of fixing systems that have problems, so he should shut the hell up. Not that I want to... I'm not one to defend companies releasing crappy products, and I think they certainly rushed these, and they probably have a higher defect rate than they should, although... You know, I don't have one to test myself, and I certainly don't have 1,000 to test. And
well,
make claims
out of the three people that we know who got one of theirs broke. He just didn't get sound. It just stopped. So he, I mean, firsthand, we know someone that had a defective system.
Do we really? I don't know. That guy doesn't seem like he's on the ball.
He wasn't
Maybe he didn't plug his cable far in enough.
I'm not going to say that guy was the brightest guy in the world. But I listened to a friend of mine coach him through the process of putting those plugs in. And I think he was able to handle it, and it still didn't work.
All right. Cool. Well, there's one then. And that makes what, 1 out of 4?
1 out of 4.
That's an awfully big defect rate.
That is.
25%
Microsoft.
I think
we should call up the Association of Media and the Family. I'm getting that name wrong, but...
The National Institute on Media and the Family,
that's
young
right.
sir.
They would like those statistics. We could claim a research.
That has nothing to do with games. That's hardware.
Whatever, it's skewed statistics.
All right,
so they love it.
We're going to take another break right now, because I love to take breaks. And we're going to come back with more news about... We're going to talk about piracy. We're going to talk about more litigation and fan-made games. A little bit about EA and some other things. All right, we'll be back in just a sec.
See you in a bit.
Okay, everybody, we're back for the third segment of Chatterbox Episode 100, Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and I was just over in the IRC room trying to get things settled. I think we're going to have to take control of that, the big old IRC.
Was there some upset? I wasn't even looking at it.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I was just doing for 5 minutes. You thought I was just not paying attention.
Really?
But I think we're going to have to have a hostile takeover of the IRC channel.
Can we kick people? We're mods.
Anyway, we'll talk about that off the show, I guess. If people are interested, you can go to dynasty.net, go to Chatterbox, the room called Chatterbox, and we're going to start our own called, I think, Chatterboxers, or put it on another server or whatever.
Yeah, we can do that. Very
anyway, so here's our show. We want to talk about this thing on ukresistance.com. It's not really .com, it's .co.uk. It was on, I think, on joystick.com they reported about this, and I swear I saw it somewhere else too. But, they did this little report. I guess... Who is it that they were complaining about said the wrong things about piracy? Maybe they just made this up? I don't know. It's hard to tell from the website, but I still think it's good to see.
I don't know. It seems like their truth about piracy... I'm not sure if they're trying to be funny.
No, they're definitely trying to be funny. Here's what it is. The headline is, "Non-Pirate Spreads Evil Lies About Game Piracy." Now, here's what I can't tell. If they're being... I think they're saying, yeah, if you go to askaboutgames.com, I should probably go there.
That might help.
So anyway, there's people say that, you know, here are the reasons why you shouldn't get a pirated game.
Well, apparently Roger Bennett, Director General of ELSPA, I have no idea what that is. That's what he said, that games can cause damage to the console and are frequently incomplete or faulty.
Yeah, you can read this info and stuff at go to Ask About Games, and they also have a link to ELSPA, and I can tell you what ELSPA stands for as soon as the website actually comes up. The Entertainment and Leisure Software Publishers Association. So basically, legitimate games people.
Yes.
Is what it means. And so UK Resistance wrote a little article saying, hey, all that stuff that they say about pirated games, it's kind of bullshit. Now, you have the list in front of you, right, Nate?
I do have the list.
So a lot
of it seems, you know, I mean, some of it is pretty true. Pirate games is not costing you money. Correct. Pirate games usually do work.
Well, this is what the UK Resistance is saying.
Yeah. This is, yeah, correct. But, like, pirated games usually do work, and that's true. I don't know, some stuff that are, like, offset, only victims of piracy are shops that think it's okay to charge 50 quid. I'm guessing that's dollars.
Remember, this website's in the UK. All right, I really don't think you're giving this the attention it deserves here.
Maybe I'm not. I'm just looking at it, it's like, a lot of this, you know, it's like, yeah, that's true, and a lot of it's like, well, why do you think they can charge a lot? Well, they have to develop the game, and they have to make, you know, a profit, because they're a business, and they seem to think, well, they should just, you know, charge.
Do you know what 50 pounds is?
50 pounds?
Or 50 quid?
50 quid is the, I'm not sure what the exchange rate is, but I think it's like double. Is that like $100 or something like that?
Yeah, it's not quite double, but it's really fucking close.
Yeah.
So, would you like to spend $100 on a game?
No, I would not.
Yeah, it's actually 1.75, so you're looking at about $87.50.
That's a lot for a game.
Yeah. Apparently, all the Xbox 360 games are about 50 pounds. So, what they're doing here, they say, here's the truth. Pirating games, or not pirating games, is costing you money, which is sort of the reverse of...
of what I said.
Well, no, it's the reverse of what the industry is saying. That, yeah, pirating games costs you money because... or people who pirate cost all you legitimate people money.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And what UK Resistance is saying is that not pirating games is actually costing you money because you should be pirating and saving money. I'm not endorsing this stuff. Far be it from me.
You are just merely stating...
But I do think it's definitely an entertaining look. Pirated games do usually work, and some claims were made that pirated games will break your system.
I don't know about that.
They won't work, and I mean, there are some instances when they won't work because there are protections, like Sony doesn't want them to work, so they'll try to get them to not work in their Sony PlayStation and PlayStation 2 and whatever, and everybody does that, and it's a very legitimate practice, I think.
Yeah.
but then they say... you don't fund terrorism by downloading your games, downloading the games yourself through, say, BitTorrent on TorrentSpy.com,
yeah,
burning them onto DVDs.
Yeah, I don't think you're supporting any types of terrorism unless they're going on how many, you know, terabytes they move on their servers.
Well, no, the point here is that terrorists are selling these pirated games, so you shouldn't buy your pirated games. The whole point of this article, I don't think we've gotten to the core of it. The point of this article is that they're saying all the crap these people are saying about piracy... Even though piracy might not be a very good practice, they're going way out of bounds to try to get you to not do it. Like, you know all those commercials about pirating movies and stuff, and how when we go to a movie premiere and we have to...
Oh, yeah, it's
like,
you're taking money
back
out of my out of my pocket, and I'm just the grip. You know?
What am I going to do with my cell phone in a movie theater? Why can't I bring my movie-taking cell phone in? What am I going to do, get a 10-second clip of the Hulk as he flexes for the first time?
And you'll get... I liked when we went to Aeon Flux, and there's, like, no moving picture cameras. It's like, the movie's going to come out in, like, 4 hours.
Dude, I went to a premiere of that Vin Diesel sci-fi flick.
Chronicles of Riddick.
Yes. And you couldn't bring a cell phone that just took a picture. Never mind a moving picture. You couldn't have anything in there. They were stripping us down, checking our cavities. You couldn't do anything if you wanted to.
But
that was
different. That was like a pre-screener where like the art wasn't quite there. And
whatever. Good. So nobody even wants to see the movie with the wrong graphics in it. There's even less reason for me to pirate it. So... anyway, they're trying to make a point that all these people screaming about piracy are being real dicks by lying about it. If you want to tell the truth to stop people from pirating, that's a good idea. But
I have nothing wrong with that statement. That sounds
exactly
fine. It just seems like what they're saying is that they're pushing it kind of on the other end a little bit to me.
You mean when they say something like, the reason non-pirated games are so expensive is because everyone's a greedy capitalist pig who wants a better car and you're paying for it?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're taking it a little far.
Or the, you know, now that I'm up here and I can't find it, widespread piracy among the poor means they have more money to spend on alcohol and cigarettes, shaving up to 10 years from their life expectancy, saving the taxpayer money in the long run. That seems a little far-fetched to me.
You've got
to
interject some humor.
Well, that's what I said. Are they trying to be funny?
I think they succeeded.
They have some good points. I'm not denying that.
I just I liked the website. I think you should go take a look at it. UKResistance.co.uk with a funny little article on why piracy is good for you. And we've done that sort of thing in the past. I can admit it.
Yeah, you can do that.
I have some ROMs. I'm leet from time to time.
I will attest that when I had a Dreamcast, I really didn't pay for a lot of my games. I paid for the ones that I really wanted.
Did you read that they might re-release the
They
Dreamcast?
Might re-release the Dreamcast with a new game for about $80.
I'm not a big fan of giving a news report with a might in front of it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of value, but one thing I did notice is I read on one website about how this sort of homemade / not so homemade anymore game called Radigy, another shooter, spaceship shooter, coming out on the Dreamcast, and it's got really limited release, so they're going to charge like €100 for it. I'm sorry, 10,000 yen, not euro, right? 10,000 yen, which is about $86 or something, for this game. And then I just read on Engadget today that they're going to release Sega's re-releasing the Dreamcast with the Radigy game packed in for that same 10,000 yen. So maybe they just got together with Sega and was like, hey, maybe you should just get rid of some of your stock, old Dreamcast stock, and give it away for free or something. But it's interesting. A lot of people are into that. They like the idea of...
Well, the homebrew for the Dreamcast has been pretty big for a long time.
Yeah.
Not particularly in this country, but over in Japan.
There's
Let me clarify.
We have some forum users who really, really like the Dreamcast, and we all do too. I just don't like the controller. I think it's really crappy.
It hurts your hands.
Yeah. But aside from that, it's definitely a good system, and it is interesting to see them re-release it if they actually do. Just sort of as like as an honor to say, hey, the system was still good and people are still going to buy it. And interestingly, more people would probably buy that than the Xbox 360 in Japan.
Yeah, I'm quite certain of that.
But yeah, it'll be fun to see if they actually do that. And then what they need to do is, you know, release the old games that people never got to play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they should do is re-release, you know, games on the Saturn that people want to play.
Ooh, that would be nice.
But you know, that's a topic we don't really need to jump into, whining about $200 eBay auctions for, man, what's the name of that game now?
I'm not sure.
Radiant Silver Gun is what I'm thinking of. I'm sorry about that.
All right.
Have you ever played Radiant Silver Gun?
I don't believe so. I was more a fan of Panzer Dragoon.
All right. Well, Radiant Silver Gun was like the game before Ikaruga came out.
Okay.
We can play it after the show if you want. Okay, so now, talked about UK Resistance. That wasn't very fun, but here's a more important article. Now, I think we talked about this in the past, but I may have just wanted to talk about it and not actually covered
it. I don't think we talked about it. I don't ever remember discussing it.
You don't seem to remember it. So here's the thing. A few months ago, I at least read about this fan-made game that they were calling King's Quest IX, Every Cloak Has a Silver Lining. And then we found out, sort of recently, that Vivendi Universal, who has the rights to all of Sierra products...
Because, you know, they are Sierra.
They are. What did they do? Just change their name?
Sierra used to be part of... They used to be like a, I don't know, subsidiary. But then Sierra, they shut that down. So, really, Sierra is just a name that they slap on games now.
So, they own the rights to all of Sierra stuff, and that includes King's Quest. So, they found this fan-made game, and there have been lots of fan-made games that big companies traditionally just shut down. So Vivendi has apparently they shut them down, and everyone was bummed about it. And I actually got a press release asking for us to send a letter to whomever, I think to Vivendi, to say, hey, we'd really like to see this come out. And I sort of dismissed it as one of the many efforts of, you know, online petitions and whatever.
Futile efforts that never really happen.
Exactly.
But they just got out of, like, a quasi-litigation thing, and they're going to make it again.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
It's a different... It's under a different name. It's not King's Quest IX anymore.
And I want to give my take on this.
Okay, go for it.
What happens is, they shut it down, and people whined a lot. And what they could have done, said, okay, instead of being shut down, we're going to change the name, we're going to change some of the stuff on our website so it doesn't reference King's Quest anymore, and we're going to still release this. The people who want it will understand that it's supposed to be a continuation of King's Quest, which obviously, you know, won't ever happen because Sierra's not really on the job anymore, unless Vivendi decides to actually use something from, you know, their properties at Sierra. It won't ever be made. So they put a lot of effort into making this game. It doesn't suck so much. They get shut down. Whatever, we're going to change the name. But they never said that they were going to do that. They said, we're going to talk to Vivendi and see what they'll allow. And so then there's this tiny little press release from Vivendi, supposedly. Although I haven't gone to Vivendi to find this press release. It's only listed on the King's Quest IX website, KQIX.com. And they say Vivendi has this press release that says, hey, we're very happy to see this fan-made game happen with, you know, one of our products or our properties, and we're excited to see the first chapter of this trilogy happen.
So they get to look like good guys when they're really not.
Well, exactly. They say, oh, look, we're good. We're letting you make it. That's great. And then you go to their website, the King's Quest IX website, and they're like, okay, well, we had to change the name. Now it's just A Silver Lining. So there's no reference to King's Quest in the title. We're also going to have to change the website, you know, to comply with certain legal whatever. So basically...
So they're really not using that property anymore.
Yeah. They're doing what they could have done without the permission from Vivendi.
Just making a game.
Exactly. So I'm guessing that they were sent this letter saying, you have to stop, and if you don't stop, we will rape you. And they then said, oh, well, I guess we're going to have to stop. And they stopped working on it for a few months. And then maybe they talked to Vivendi. I don't know. Maybe they were like, hey, could you not hurt us? And we'll, like, change the name. We'll do all this. We'll do this. And Vivendi says, oh, yeah, that's great. Do it. Do everything we said. And then we'll put out a press release and make ourselves sound benevolent.
Sound like these great guys.
Exactly. So for that reason, I think Vivendi is still a piece of crap. Meanwhile, they're making themselves look good, and King's Quest IX people are so scared, or, I don't know, maybe they're really happy about it.
Well, they're getting to make their game. So, I mean, they'll be happy. Of course, it's not King's Quest IX anymore. It's A Silver Lining, but...
They could have done it anyway. My point, I hate friggin' bullies. And I don't like the idea that Vivendi's getting off looking like they're friendly.
Yeah.
And they're really a bunch of assholes.
Oh, exactly.
I was all excited. I get this press release. I'm like, oh my god, they're letting him do it? That's great. I'm going to have to not rag on Vivendi. And then I looked more into it and realized, oh, no, they're really big pricks still.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, they're a big company. That's what they do.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you saw that movie, right, with the military kids who killed somebody, what is that, A Few Good Men?
Right? Maybe.
And the bottom line is that, well, you should have done the right thing anyway.
Yeah.
There's someone at the top who could make a decision. Someone could say, it's okay not to be a big litigious prick, and you could let people make something which is good.
But, yeah, if you did that, then we wouldn't have lawyers, and then they'd just be homeless people that would be really rude. And
I don't know why they don't just have it released and make money off of it. That would be the truly scandalous
thing. Yeah.
And would make me happy. So, anyway.
Well, speaking of litigations, I guess the... You know the big thing, the Safe Game Act that Illinois had? Well, that got turned down by a district judge.
I gotta tell you, I've actually lost track of all the different states.
Really?
That
well,
are making
as
laws.
Far as I know, it's Michigan, Illinois, and
Illinois.
California.
That's funny.
Am I pronouncing it wrong?
Yes.
Is it
Maybe
Illinois?
Maybe it's the Fargo in you.
It is. It's the hard Minnesota accent. Illinois.
Okay.
I'd say that. So, the Illinois governor, Rod, I'm gonna pronounce his name wrong, but Blagojevich?
Blagojevich?
Whatever.
Blagomediablu?
Yeah, it's Blagojevich. It's very long and not familiar to me. Well, anyways, he's appealing the Safe Games Illinois Act after it got turned down by the U.S. District Court Judge Matthew Kenley here.
So a law was put in place, and then a judge says, wait a minute, no, that's bull?
He said, well, it's unconstitutional because it breaks the First Amendment. And so that was all cool, and you know everyone said, "Oh yeah, probably shouldn't have this law anymore." Not Rod the governor of Illinois. He's like, "No, we're gonna appeal it." He's quoted to say, "The battle is not over. Parents should be able to expect their kids will not have access to excessive, violent, and sexual, explicit video
now,
games without their permission."
Me? Is it just me, or should the governor of a state be behind his judicial system? What do you think?
Well, you know, I would like to think that, but unfortunately that's not the case here.
I would expect that if a law was made and then a judge came in and said, you know what, we've taken a better look at this and we realize it should not be allowed, all right?
Or,
that's,
or that
that's
it's
the point
oh,
of our branches.
I don't know, unconstitutional.
That's the point of our checks and balances system, that someone can do something and then someone else can be like, but wait a minute, you can't really do that. we sort of have to pay attention to these rules we made a long time ago that we all agreed are sacred. And that would be, of course, the Constitution. Well, and so now the governor in one branch, that's the executive for you kids out there, he says, well, wait a minute. Checks and balances? You didn't do what I wanted, so I'm just going to fight back.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, I think that's childlike.
Oh, it is. And, you know, it's not surprising to me.
Not with the current state of politics in this country.
Oh, no, not at all. Apparently he's going to keep the pressure on with a multi-pronged effort. You know, I'm not exactly sure what the multi-pronged effort, you know, would be, but I'm sure it would involve, you know, breaking the First Amendment.
But over and over.
He's
and
trying
over.
To create a grassroots, you know, network of parents, and they're going to go to this judge and say, listen, let's, you know, break the amendments so we can get this law.
So he's saying, hey, judge, you're trying to look out for the best interests of our nation, but and I'm just going to keep badgering you to get what I want.
Yeah, he's like, listen, I need to get reelected and I need to look good. So let's just put this law into place here.
Oh, fantastic. That's what I like to hear. I'm always happier with the political environment in this country every time I hear about something that a politician does.
Well, I mean, if you want to get into it, we could talk about Hillary Clinton's law that is... I mean, she has all this stuff, and as soon as she's got all these people, I'm like, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and this. But if you look at it, as soon as they, like, bring it to the floor or try to get made into a law, it's going to get rejected because it breaks the First Amendment.
It's a good use of my tax-paying dollar.
That's, you know, that's what the retailers in Illinois were saying, that it was kind of a bummer for the taxpayers. And they told the governor that this was exactly what's going to happen if you try and do this. You know, why are you attacking us?
Can I tell you, this is why I'm happy I'm poor, because I don't actually pay any taxes. So that way, my money doesn't go to these efforts.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad, too. In fact, I'm the opposite. I've been leeching off the taxpayers by going to the free clinic. And I don't pay taxes because I don't make enough money.
I don't know if
I'm allowed to go there.
The listeners on the state of your colon in the last few shows.
I'm pretty much all better. I'd say I made a mistake. I kind of need to stick to a diet, and I went to Austin, Texas for my friend's graduation. Didn't eat a whole lot one day, and then I ate about like 2 pounds of barbecue with like a Dr. Pepper. Ooh, that was not a fun evening.
That
but anyways,
sounds like the Nate I know and love.
I'm getting back on the right track.
Okay.
Today's the day.
Excellent. So, yeah, that's our politics segment for today, I guess. You and your colon. Yeah, do we have any more about the Illinois governor? I think it's dumb.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, pretty much this guy, he just really wants to waste people's money so he can, like, pretend to look good. And... I mean, it's not even to the point where I think he's trying to be, you know, he's really out for the interest. Like, he knows it's going to fail. And if he doesn't, he shouldn't be a governor. Cause don't
Wait,
you
doesn't,
need...
doesn't he really believe that if he badgers enough, that they'll cave?
Oh, it can't happen. Like, so many watchdog groups would jump at him if it ever became law. That's the reason why it gets overturned all the time. He wants the publicity to say, I'm really trying to fight for kids and blah, 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 and
oh,
I'm
you're
this
saying
great
he's looking
guy.
For the vote.
Huh?
You're saying he's looking for the vote.
That's what I'm saying. He's
okay.
Trying to make himself appear like he's really trying to, you know, fight Bert. But these evil, you know, game companies and retailers are, you know, making the judge say that this is unconstitutional and overturns it.
Not perhaps because it actually is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Dumb people taking office in the United States. It's crap. It's crazy. I've never seen this sort of thing happen before. It's so wild. All right, so let's move on to perhaps more interesting things.
Yes.
This week, it was announced, I guess. I don't know when it actually happened. But apparently Jamdat, probably the biggest producer of mobile games, meaning cell games, like cell phone stuff, that was purchased by Electronic Arts. We're sort of used to Electronic Arts buying everybody. And I got to say, for once, maybe not so upset about it, because... in my limited experience with cell phone games, they could use a lot of polish.
Yeah, they could.
They could use the help. And, I mean, they're already big anyway, right? It's not like EA already had a mobile company or a mobile division. I'm sure they did, but not really this type. So now they're going to basically take over the cell phone market, which, in my opinion, since it didn't really exist well enough to begin with, not a bad thing. It can only really get better. So I'm all for it. And it might actually expand the market, because I'm sure that EA...
Get ready for Madden, 06 on your cell phone.
They'll probably put so much marketing behind it that it'll actually expand the cell phone market dramatically. At least this is my expectation. You think maybe next November, running up to Christmas, you'll see people advertising cell phone games?
I just don't really... Not really, because it's not... So I'm going to buy someone a cell phone game for a present?
Well,
I mean,
probably buy like a T-Mobile gift card.
Okay, yeah, I could see that, but I don't know. Cell games, you know, they're cool and all that, but really they're there to, oh, I have 5 minutes and I need to waste some time. You know, oh, I'm stuck in the elevator, or I'm waiting for my boss or something.
Well, yeah, but that's worth $5, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, I'm sure it'll do fine. I just don't think they'll put a lot of marketing into, you know, Christmassy retail. The holiday season, I don't think I'll be seeing a lot of, you know,
you're right.
This
is a March campaign when there's no other games to play. And you have that time to waste.
Yeah, true.
Right? Maybe I'm just making that up.
I'm not exactly sure where you're getting March, but I do know that's a dead area. But
yeah. All right, well, my take on it, generally good. Usually I say EA doing stuff is bad when they buy things, but in this case, it'll probably actually be good. And so I'm not going to complain about it. And to be honest, I don't really play cell phone games much anyway, so it doesn't have much of an effect on me. But, you know...
I can't tell you that the Sony Ericsson, I think it's like the C or the T6110, has a really good, really awesome golf game on it.
Are you talking about your phone?
I am talking about my phone, yes.
All right. Do you know how outdated your phone is now?
I don't care, because mine lasts 3 days on a charge, so I'm happy.
Yeah, but it's not exactly a game player.
I don't care.
Okay, that's fine.
I can play it in the bathroom. That's really... If they start putting advertising in stalls, I could see that really taking off.
Actually, that's not such a bad idea.
It's like you close a stall. Oh, there's like, you're sitting on the toilet. You know, how about play some Bejeweled or something like that?
I think you've got something on your hand, buddy. That's not a bad idea at all. All right, well, that's our mobile news. And there's one other thing I wanted to cover today. Before I do that, is there anything else you wanted?
No, I'm good. I got my stuff out.
All right, so we've actually had a really, really long third segment, so we're not going to take a break. We're just end the show on this very tiny bit of news. I found out today while sifting through Gama Sutra's news that apparently Codemasters is making a game called Dance Factory. I'm assuming you didn't know anything about this, since I didn't already.
Not at all.
All right, so...
I don't really follow the dance games, unlike you.
You know me in the dance games.
Oh,
I was
man.
Actually in Best Buy this week when I was picking up... last week when I got Guitar Hero, and saw that there's like a breakdancing game, which is... I mean, it's basically Dance Dance Revolution with the four arrows and whatever, but it's a breakdancing theme, so it's probably got, you know, that late 70s, early 80s music, and then there's breakdancers on the screen, and I really wish I had that.
So how are they going to do the twirl?
Well, I don't think it's supposed to simulate you playing, but perhaps. I mean, the crab, you could certainly do the
crab. You could do the crab, yeah.
On the dance pad with no problem. But I think it's just that the theme is urban dancing. So that's what happens on the screen, and I'd love to see that if they had good mocap on it. That'd be interesting. But back to Dance Factory. So Codemasters has done a lot of neat things in its time. One thing I remember, I was stuck in a very farmy area of France for a few weeks some point earlier in my life, and I played a lot of Codemasters Pete Sampras Tennis. And the cool thing is that it had two controller ports in the cartridge, so you could play four players, and we did. And so my point is, Codemasters does cool stuff. Now, they're going to make this game called Dance Factory, which is sort of like the holy grail of dancing games, because you're going to be able to use your own CDs in it.
Ooh.
I believe the very first dancing game that was around was a game called Dance 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 by Konami, only in Japan. Nobody's ever heard of it, but I've seen it. It's actually not very good, but you could put in your own CDs. The problem is, you didn't really do much with them, because...
How would it make the, you know, your cues with the beat of the music?
I want more info on this, because I imagine it'll make its own steps based on the beat, and they'll be able to make claims like, certain songs or certain music will work better than other games. For instance, like hip-hop music that has a really strong beat in the background could be recognized by the software better and therefore make steps oriented to the music better. But, you know, maybe they have some really good algorithms that'll be able to make a good step chart based on the game. I really doubt it. But here's my idea, and here's what I do not think will actually happen, but is a great idea nonetheless. Now, in Far Cry Instincts, this is one of the first examples of user-made and universally downloadable content over Xbox Live, how you could make the maps and then other people could download them. You remember us talking about that, Nate?
Yeah, I heard you.
All right, now, you put in your own album. You have Metallica Black Album at home. A lot of other people do, too. You pop it in there, and you can make your own steps. And this is all theoretical here. Let's say you make your own steps, you upload it on Xbox Live, and then other people can have access to those steps. And so they could say, it's for this song from this album, you know it, you recognize it, whatever, and now download these steps, and it should go along with your music just fine, because you have the same album as me. I think that's a
that is a very
really
neat
idea. That would be awesome. Or, you know, you could even make a compilation. On the Xbox 360, you could rip all the music to the hard drive. That'd be great. And actually, on the Xbox, you could, too. But, like, you could put together your own compilation CD of different tracks and have, you know, your own special dance game. And I think that's really great. I don't know how Codemasters is going to do it. I bet they're only making software that will create bad steps for you automatically and therefore won't be really good. But I think the potential, now that Xbox Live is in its prime, the potential is certainly there to make a really cool dance game that everybody sort of helps develop with the user content.
But then you get down with piracy, because...
What, the MP3s and burning your own CDs?
Yep.
You mean? Who cares?
Oh, I'm sure someone will care.
Well, listen, you could have real albums, and nobody's going to tell if you have a real one or not, but with an MP3 one, it's more likely that you're not going to have the right amount of silence at the beginning of the track or at the end or whatever. So maybe it would promote buying an actual disc because you would sync up properly.
But still, I think the recording artists of America might have a problem with it, but that's just me.
No,
so
I think
know.
You're making that up. Anyway, that is all I have for today. That's all the news. I gotta be honest, I don't think a lot of it was full of the content.
This wasn't the greatest 100th show, but I still want to say that it was the 100th week, so really doesn't have to be that special. 100th show should be.
We're actually going to hit 2 years, January 17th. I don't think we're going to air on January 17th next month, but that was our very first show, January 17, back in good old 2003. So we're happy that we're hitting 2 years and that our 100 shows are down. But more importantly, you will be happy when you listen to our very next show on December 25th, Christmas Day. Hopefully you'll be able to get away from the family. It'll be at night, so that's good for you. And we're going to give stuff away.
Lots of stuff. You just need the call to get it.
Nate will join us by phone, since he'll be in Santa's workshop up in Fargo.
That is correct.
Thank you, Nate. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be back in 2 weeks. Take a week off. Enjoy yourselves. In the meantime, we might have an IRC channel, fixeroo, perhaps an official IRC channel. And,
that would probably be best.
We'll give you all that information in the newsletter if you do sign up. That's about it.
We'll
have a good
night.
See
you later. Bye.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.
Go!
I'll do one that doesn't last a long time.
Ho! Hey everybody, how's it going? Donkashay. Donkashay.
Oh my god, tell me he didn't just...
He did start taking a shower. I'm not picking it up. Are you?
No.
Okay.
All right. Let's
keep
going.
Are we starting over again?
No, I'm going to cut that shit out.
Okay, good.
Donkashay.
Dude, if you look at this IRC channel, we really have to just make our own. So that can't have control over it.
Why? What is he doing?
He's fucking kicking people like mad. He's been on a power trip since he started it.
Really? Yeah, we can just make our own.
I think they're just going to send me information on how to take care of it.
All right.
Dude, you know we have not much to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
This is a bad showing for our 100th show.
Donkashay.
Hello? No, that's cool. You called? Yeah, sure. Okay. I don't know. For a little bit. We have another, I don't know, 20 minutes of the 23 minutes of the show left. Not really. I'll see how I feel when I'm done, though. I don't know. I'm still having a little problem. I haven't really eaten anything today either, so that might not be helping.
You had a chicken sandwich, bitch!
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, I might come in and say hi, so. Okay. Bye. Yeah, well, I know we don't really have a lot to talk about.
I have, we want to talk about the piracy thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I have, the Illinois governor, Rob Blagojevich, appealing the Safe Games Illinois Act. But that's all I really have besides all the stuff that you had. Did you, like, just go down Slashdot and, like, get everything? And, like, joystick and stuff like that?
I just hit the stuff that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, because that was, like, all the stuff that was really worthwhile.
Yeah, well, so you can see we think alike, right?
Yeah.
Donkashay.
Okay, well, I guess we should do the show, huh?
Okay.
All right. We should include this as an outtake.
Sure, we can do that.
All right. I'm being really loud, though. I gotta pull this down. Hang on a second.
Pull it down.
Microphone balance is down a little bit. Okie dokily. All right, I'm ready when you are.
Donkashay.
So, Rod Blago... Man, I'm not going to be able to pronounce his name. Blagojevich.
Blagojevich?
Blagojevich?
Okay.
Blagojevich?
All right. What's your point?
Nothing, just that I can't pronounce this guy's name.
All right. Meanwhile, we're both recording.
Are we?
Didn't you say you started recording? I mean, I saw it recording on your computer. That's why I was over there, and that's why we made the sync noise.
Yeah, we can start recording. I just lost what I was writing, though. It disappeared somewhere.
Well, you just tell me when you're ready.
Donkashay.
It amazes me how funny people think some things are, which I don't think are very funny.
Blagojevich?